The views expressed on community issues and missions are those of the participants and do not necessarily reflect the views of the board or the staff of Cumberland Valley Christian Radio.
Welcome to Community Issues and Missions. Cumberland Valley Christian Radio is proud to provide a servant's heart time where we recognize local people who are addressing issues that impact our central Pennsylvania community. People tackle the problems and do their best to take corrective actions to make our lives better.
Well, hello and welcome to today's edition of Community Issues and Missions. It's great to be back with you again. I am your host, Jeremy Ross. It is the beginning of the month and we're into now what would be the second month of the FFA for this particular season. So I have some more new faces with me today. The returning face from last month is Thomas Strong, who's the reporter for this year. How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
Not too bad. And our new face is Killian George, who is the treasurer for this year. And how are you doing?
Doing well. Thank you for asking.
So you guys are now a month in, or roughly a month in, to the new season. Between the both of you, give me a few thoughts on what you're thinking so far, now that you're getting into the flow of the season.
Well, since last month, whenever I came here, I've gotten a lot busier. And a lot of things have been picking up. It's been a really great time, though. I have definitely been enjoying myself and being able to reach out to a bunch of people already, and we're only a month in. It's crazy to think that there's still 11 months and so much more impact to come.
Killian? Yep.
We've definitely been super busy just getting some training in and trying to get our feet into the ground and get a good running start for us. So it's been a really good time so far and learning lots.
And you guys had the training session that you had to do like right out the door, if I remember correctly, right?
Correct. Yep. So we've actually done three different training sessions. We did one as a team. We actually did two as a team about 2 weeks apart. And then we just spent a week down in DC with state officers from all across the United States learning how to advocate and getting our mission out there to our legislators.
Okay. So you were getting the legal and government side of things like right there at the very beginning.
Absolutely. Yeah. They gave it to us right away.
We had the chance to actually go down and meet with some of our legislators, like Fred Keller, who is my personal representative down in the U.S. Congress. But it was really great to be able to talk with all of them and really get our message of agriculture out there and really see where we can make an impact in our community and in the government.
That's awesome. It's just like you say, you get busy very fast. It doesn't take long at all before you're just right there into the flow of the river and you just have to go with it.
Absolutely.
So Killian, since you're the new one this time, I always like to get the personal stories a little bit of each of the officers that I get to meet. So tell me a little bit about yourself. What led you to the FFA?
So I started out when I was in fifth grade raising and showing livestock. So I raised goats, lambs, cattle. I stayed away from the pigs though. But that led me right into taking agricultural education classes, actually at the same school that Tommy went to up in Greenwood. The beginning of my ninth grade year, due to some family issues, I switched schools and ended up transferring to Cumberland Valley from Central Dauphin School District. The more involved that I got with my FFA chapter, the more passionate I became about the industry, as well as educating others. So that led me to take involvement with the FFA and taking part in those public speaking competitions, because I think that's where our communication strengthens our mission. So that's what I really pursued. And I'm actually currently attending Pennsylvania State University, majoring in agricultural and extension education with a minor in international agriculture.
So did you ever think that you would end up taking the route to becoming a state officer?
I definitely had that dream for quite some time. I actually ran last year and wasn't elected and decided to come back because I want to be the best teacher that I can be for my future students. And I think state office really provides that opportunity not to only grow for myself, but to grow our members and to grow our organization. And I think it's just a really great opportunity that I wanted to be a part of.
So you pulled a Sam Loy move. You went to college for a year and
I
then
did.
Paused.
I did. I did pull Sam Loy.
Nice, because I hadn't even known initially that you could do that, that you could have that like years gap in there and to be able to take that pause and do that. And I'm glad that they have that opportunity.
Yeah, so you can actually be an FFA member until you're 21.
Oh, really? Wow, okay.
So technically, if I wouldn't have gotten elected again this year, I could have ran one more time. At that point, I think college would have been the route that I would have chosen, but I'm really glad that I have this opportunity.
Yeah, usually once you get into the second year of college, that's when it really starts to take a big priority
out
of your life. Yeah. So on the agenda for today's topics, as far as agricultural news goes, it's one that has definitely been a subject of conversation before on the show, partly because it's one of the more crisis elements that is happening in our area, and that is the spotted lanternfly. So to start off, give our listeners a little bit of background refresher on what exactly is the spotted lanternfly and why is it a problem?
So the spotted lanternfly is an invasive species. It comes from Southeast Asia. It came back in 2014 here to Pennsylvania on some sort of shipment. They're not exactly sure how exactly it came, but it originated in Berks County out near Reading. And what it's done is it's just spread so much because there's no natural predators for it here in the United States. And it's just taking over areas here in Pennsylvania, and it's spreading from eastern Pennsylvania more west now.
And so as far as what specifically does the lanternfly affect when it gets into an area?
So it latches onto trees and it takes the nutrients from the sapwood and it ends up being able to make those trees less harvestable. It's normally fruit trees. So in our area, we have a lot of, especially Adams County, has a lot of like apple trees and a lot of orchards in this area. And so whenever the lanternflies can come, they just love taking those sweet nutrients, and it makes it so there's not as much as many apples or peaches or whatever it would be to harvest for our farmers.
What are some of the methods then that are being implemented to help combat the spread of these flies?
So I think one of the methods that is really taking its forefront is the educating people of what they look like. Because there is no natural predator, we are their only predator.
Right.
So identifying these bugs and killing them on site. I know there was a big campaign that it was like, if you see the bad bug, smush it immediately. There's research being conducted by Penn State about different pesticides that could be used against them. Obviously, we don't want to just be going and spraying pesticides willy-nilly if we don't have to, because that can lead to some other environmental impacts. But really, the biggest method of extermination, so to speak, is us killing them at all stages. One thing to note, I think, is that I found in when researching the spotted lanternfly is they only survive the winter through their eggs. So if we can stop their eggs from surviving through the winter, I think that'll also decrease the population quite rapidly.
Okay, so they don't handle the cold very well.
Not at all.
Interesting, okay. And it was funny because we were having the conversation before we even went on the air that we had talked about this in the past with other FFA members, and it was only just in the past month that I actually started seeing a few of them personally. And I was surprised because it's like, despite what you would think, they're actually a very pretty creature to look at.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And through their different life stages, they change different colors. So the bright red color that we normally see and identify as a spotted lanternfly isn't their adult stage.
Oh, really?
So their adult stage, they actually turn to like a black, mostly black winged bug with like white spots on the wings. And then underneath is where they keep that red. So it's a lot harder to spot them once they get to that adult stage.
Okay.
They also blend in with the trees mainly because their wings are able to camouflage on smooth bark trees. So all they look like are just little bumps on the bark of a tree. So then they're just able to just sit there without anyone noticing them and walking by, unless there's hundreds of them, which is starting to be a problem.
Yeah, it's no wonder that it's becoming an issue. I don't know if we had mentioned this before. At the moment in this area, what are the problem counties that they're being dealt with?
So Berks County is the main one, but there are all the counties around it, surrounding Berks County, are quarantined, which means that without a special permit, companies can't be moving in and out different hardwoods without being able to cause problems and spread the spotted lantern fly. But they're being spotted in Perry County and Dauphin County, Lancaster, York. They are starting to be spotted and starting to get that problem out there. So they're trying to take precautions right now to get them.
And an interesting question that I saw here, because you have a lot of information printed out from the actual agricultural website here, is a question of whether or not spotted lanternflies are actually dangerous to children and pets, which is not something that I ever thought about before. So talk about that a little bit.
So when we were doing some research on the spotted lanternfly for today, that was one of the questions that also caught my eye particularly. And the answer kind of shocked me a little bit because there isn't a lot known about this insect. We don't know if they're harmful to our children and our pets. They're not a biting insect. So in that aspect, they're quote unquote safe. But when it comes to if your pet would ingest one, we're not sure what the effects would be. Typically, insects that have those bright colored patterns on them are don't eat me because I'm dangerous to you. So we're not sure if they fall in the same category, but there's simply not a lot of information on them right now.
Yeah, it's hard to know whether or not just people would have an allergic reaction to them. And the reality for a lot of things probably is that there's probably something there, but it only affects a certain percentage of people or pets or whatever it might be.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and so that, yeah, I can see that's an added level of risk because we don't know. I mean, granted, like you said, not being a biting insect, thank goodness for that, because that would make it a lot worse.
Absolutely, yeah.
And actually, back a few years ago, South Korea had the same exact problem that the United States and here in Pennsylvania were having, and their grape industry decreased a good amount just because the spotted lanternflies were a pest in South Korea. They traveled from China and Vietnam, and just like they are here in Pennsylvania, they came in on a shipment and they just devastated the grape industry over there by just latching onto those plants and just taking all of that from them.
Yeah, and I know you had said with a big portion of it being with hardwoods too, like the realization that Pennsylvania is also a huge hardwood producer. It's like, great, that's targeting one of the biggest industries that we have from an agricultural sense right here in the state.
Yeah, especially from a few years ago with the emerald ash borer and taking out every ash tree basically in Pennsylvania. We're now running into another problem here with the spotted lanternflies.
Yeah. So, yeah, listeners, it's, you know, you might not think about it all the time, but agricultural issues such as these are all around you, and it's important to be aware of these things and pay attention to what's going on and what you can do as individuals to help out with this. So, in the last couple of minutes of the show here, I just want to find out, what are some of the things you guys are looking forward to this year in the FFA?
Well, starting here in the fall time, of course, school starts back up. And as state officers, we have the great chance to be able to visit all the FFA chapters across the state of Pennsylvania. So we get to actually go into the schools and work with the students and run workshops with them to be able to better know our members and better have that impact on them. And I'm definitely looking forward to that.
I'd like to ditto what Tommy had said. My passion lies within agricultural education. So working with students is what I look forward to every day. Zipping up this blue corduroy jacket and making that impact and making our organization and our members better for tomorrow. I'm also starting to look forward to some of our conferences and conventions that we have got coming up in the distant future, after starting about January is when those start to really pick up. So I'm looking forward to being able to interact with students and recognize their efforts and their accomplishments at our Midwinter Convention at the Farm Show in January.
Okay. And as far as events goes, what's going to be the next major event that you guys have coming up?
So the next major event, we have a fall leadership conference in October where we have first-year members and officers from chapters all around the state be able to come in and run workshops with them. And then after that, we have our national convention where us as state officers, we get to go and serve as delegates while some of our members go and compete out in Indianapolis, Indiana. And so we are both looking forward to this.
Yeah, and then that's where all the officers from all across the country come together. And I always say, you know, having been to just the state convention, you know, which has an average of 1,500 to 2,000 members, I can't imagine when you have like from all across the country coming in.
I think I heard a number last week from one of the people from National FFA saying about 60,000 members, give or take, are usually in Indianapolis throughout the entire convention. We also just heard that our membership in the National FFA has now reached over 700,000 FFA members across the country. So that's really exciting. I'm excited to see what kind of impact that has on the national convention.
That's awesome. Yeah, I definitely will be looking forward to hear your reports on how that went once that comes around. So any final thoughts for the two of you before we sign off today?
I think it's just good to reiterate that the spotted lanternfly is a very big problem around our area. And what our listeners can do to be able to help out with that problem is just to report anything that they see. If they see a bug, of course, smush it and get it out of the way. But also making known that to the local extension office or to the Department of Agriculture that there is a problem in your area, then they can better contain it before it spreads further.
Yeah, just to add to Tommy real quick, making sure that we're checking our cars and our clothing, and if you're hauling any equipment or trailers, making sure that we just do a quick look over, you know, making sure that everything's working great, but making sure that we're not carrying any of those pesky creatures with us either.
Right. Well, thank you both for being here today. It has been a pleasure getting to talk to both of you and meet you, Killian, for the first time.
Absolutely.
Well, with that, we are finished for today's show. Thank you for listening. I am Jeremy Ross, and I've been here with Thomas Strong, who is the state reporter for this year's FFA, and Killian George, who is the state treasurer. Have a wonderful week, and we will see you when we come back next weekend.
Well, we thank you for listening today. Please pray for these people as they address the issues and mission efforts for all of us. We'll talk to you again next week.